Man, we have such a culture war against God's ways. I really wish I could make a more positive impact.
If that's you, you can. AFA President Tim Wildman invites you to join AFA Action Alerts. Sign up to receive two weekly emails with calls to action on foundational family, national, and Christian matters. Prayerfully sign up on the alerts page at afaaction.net. That's the alerts page on afaaction.net. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. I wanted to read to you from Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13. For you, God, formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. And my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. The issue of life is a huge issue for Christians. It needs to be a huge issue for every Christian. We're in a battle in America for the unborn. And we felt like we had a huge victory in the overturning of Roe v. Wade just a couple of years ago. And that wouldn't have happened had Donald Trump not gotten three conservative pro-life justices to the Supreme Court. That was a great day in America. But it seems like the Republican Party is now doing an about-face. This was from an article this week, July 8th, New York Times, and it says this: following Trump's lead, Republicans adopt platform that softens stance on abortion. And it says this in the article: the abortion section has been softened. There is no longer a reference to, quote, traditional marriage as between one man and one woman. The document makes no mention of a federal abortion ban, which Trump says he opposes. Instead, the new platform stresses that Republicans oppose, quote, late-term abortion, unquote, and emphasizes that the party supports access to birth control and in vitro fertilization. So that is a major shift in the party platform and a major concern for those of us who are conservative, for those of us who really look at the pro-life issue as the key issue in any presidential election, in any election for any public official. So to help navigate these waters is my good friend, Dr. Rick Scarborough, the president and founder of Recover America. And Rick is an author and a pastor and a speaker, and he has a good finger on the pulse of what's going on in our country as it relates politically and culturally. So Rick, thank you for being my guest today.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I thank the Lord for a pastor in Northeast Texas that understands the times and knows what to do. I count you as a dear friend.
Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate that. Okay, so Rick, you and I talked just a couple of days ago, and a big concern with this shift in the party platform for the Republicans. And tell me and tell us what you make of this move to the left.
Well, it was a total surprise to a lot of us. We've been hearing whispers to that degree, and I don't think any of us ever thought that in his heart, this current, well, he's former president, and president to be, I trust, President Trump, was an ardent pro-lifer. He's a pragmatist at best. If he's a Christian, he's a baby Christian. And you know, I've heard both sides of that argument vociferously by people who are close to him. But the truth of the matter is, it is a betrayal to those of us who fought in this battle for 50 years. I've been in those January marches on numerous times when it was 0 degrees and snowing, and you know, 100,000, sometimes as many as a million showed up. And for 50 years, we played by the rules. We worked at getting godly candidates elected, or God-fearing candidates who would overturn Roe v. Wade when given the chance. And we finally got a president elected who, because he knew his dependence on the evangelical vote, did our bidding. Our prayers were answered. But you know, Jeff, something that bothered me, and it bothered me about myself, because I didn't make a big push for this. We should have turned out a million or more people on the streets of every major city in America rejoicing that Roe v. Wade come down. But the only marching was by the pro-death crowd. The Christians just seemed to yawn and go on. And now we're battling again to stop this atrocious effort to make the Republican Party more like the Democratic Party. So I'm in Nashville for the next 3 days meeting with some of the leading conservative voices in America, and we're going to be discussing how we get this stopped on the convention floor.
Okay, so I read today, Rick, that Tony Perkins said something about he is one of the delegates that puts together the platform. So it's not set in stone yet that this is our platform, correct?
And he's the past president of Council for National Policy, this organization that I'm meeting with. The current president is Tom Fenton. We'll be hearing from Ken Blackwell, Jim Caviezel, a host of well-known and activist conservative. Pete Hegseth has a place on this program for the next couple of days. Several of the leading conservative members of Congress. And as I told you in private conversation, it ain't over till it's over. I'm not willing to capitulate this fight. They've still got the convention floor to face. And there will be several thousand pro-life conservatives in that convention hall. So it's been interesting to watch.
Yeah. So how does that work on the convention floor?
Well, it can be overturned. It has to be ratified, and it will not be easy. And this is the president's platform. The party is there to get the president elected, but this is such an important issue to the many who have spent the last 50 years trying to end abortion. This is in the heart. Jenny Beth Martin has been fighting this battle for years. Kelly Shackelford, all of these will be gathered over the next 3 days, and we'll be talking about a strategy of what can happen, what can be done. It will not be easy. It's going to be an uphill climb. But, you know, even if we lose on this platform bill, it's still back to the states. And so conservatives, and especially Christian conservatives, cannot go to sleep. I can't foresee ever a day in my lifetime when Texas will allow abortions. There will, if this goes forward, there will be states, and there are states adopting pro-death policies. Those of us who love Jesus, we have to stand in our states and make sure that they come home. And really, that was the founder's whole premise on state constitutions and state elected officials. Every state could be an experiment in freedom, and what works, God blesses, and what doesn't work, he doesn't bless. And so you're going to see, if this goes forward, a contrast of evil and good in these respective states, because when you attack the most innocent in our society and give them no protection and allow mutilators who call themselves doctors to take an embryo and dissect it and get the body parts and sell them, which we know has happened through the abortion industry. If we allow that to go forward in our states, the states that do that will find God's judgment heavily pronounced upon them. And so in the current form, if it goes forward, it will be purely up to states to stop abortion in their states.
Okay, so Rick, why do you think Trump is shifting that to we want this to be with the states? Each state decides. That's not a pro-life position. We want to eradicate abortion from the United States. What is this? I always hear him say everybody wanted this to be a state's issue, not a federal issue. Why does he keep saying that?
Well, he's a pragmatist, and it is a fact that our founding fathers constructed this thing so every state could be different. And I'm not being an optimist when I say each state has to fight it. I'm not proud of that. I spent 50 years of my life fighting it to get a constitutional end to Roe v. Wade and overturn a horrible decision. Every legal scholar of merit knew that it was a horrible decision, including some on the left. So that happened. But Satan, you know, one thing you can say good about him is he never quits. Now, yep. Christians will quit, but right. Satan never quits. And he had a strategy all along to come back and kill babies. That's always he tried to kill Jesus. He tried to kill the progeny of Jesus through Pharaoh. Satan is the god of death, and we have to understand that. Fight this on a spiritual plane, but also on a practical plane. And finally, you know, we still have about 70% of those who say they're Christians who don't even vote. And so we have no one to blame but ourselves, ultimately, because our people, in large measure, aren't registered. They're not interested. They're more interested in watching Netflix than they are changing their country. So we got our own work cut out to do.
Yeah. Rick, I read this in an article just this week. Leaders from six life advocate organizations, including Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, and Americans United for Life, signed a letter in support of the new party platform, according to a social media post from the GOP's official account. How in the world does that work? How can you be a pro-life advocate organization and then you sign on to this?
Well, I can't answer that, but I know seven organizations to not sign on to this. I know we're reading the same article from a different perspective or not, but my understanding was they did not sign on to that.
Okay. Yeah, this was from the Deseret News that I found that article. But it just it seems just ludicrous to me that anybody that is supposedly fighting for life wouldn't stand up and say, this is wrong. There needs to be there doesn't need to be a state-by-state vote on murder.
No, I agree. But that's the fallback plan. That's what we've been given if this goes through. Now, the first effort, and we'll be discussing that, as I mentioned, and I'd be happy to come back on the air one day next week if it's appropriate and give an accounting of kind of what took place here. But these are high-level, high-ranking conservatives. You become a member by invite, and they've been meeting now for about 50 years, three and four times a year, trying to curb the slide of America into Gomorrah. And we'll be discussing this. It'll be front and center. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And many of these will be delegates to the convention, and they'll be expressing, as I mentioned, Tony Perkins and others, will be all they can to stop this on the convention floor. But if that fails, then we don't quit. We get on our face and ask God, the God who controls the hearts of men and can change a king's heart as quickly as can a river, the direction of a river, that same God we have to go to and humble ourselves and ask him for mercy and ask for wisdom and how we stop this. America is a symbol to the world of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And this goes at the very heart of that phrase, life.
Yeah, it really does. Well, we just have another minute and a half, Rick. Let me ask you to comment for those, I've seen this on X, used to be called Twitter, lots of Christians, pastors and things are saying, hey, I'm not going to be able to vote if this is the direction we're going. What do you say to those folks?
I say that is the absolute most inane statement that a pastor can say. And I hate to say that, but, I mean, you have two choices. A party that wants to destroy Israel and America, who is promoting Hamas, and a party that's standing strong with Israel and willing to fight until that victory is won. We cannot be a single issue party. Now, that single issue is incredibly important, but there's a lot more at stake in this election, and to stay home and just hand it over to the God haters, in my mind, is absolutely irreconcilable with what I understand to be the Word of God.
Amen. Well, I appreciate you, Rick. I appreciate the work that you do, and we'll pray that the Lord intervenes and that that is not the shift that the Republican Party makes in their party platform. And so God bless you and your work, my brother. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are up against a break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about Activate, American Family Association's new initiative called Activate. So don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We want to talk in this segment to Kendra Knox. She works at American Family Association, and we have a brand new initiative out called Activate. And so, Kendra, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on. We are so excited about the release of this.
Well, good. Well, tell our listeners what Activate is.
Yeah. So, you know, for years, people have been writing into AFA and asking us, hey, you guys talk about issues other people aren't willing to address every day in the radio and in your print publications. But how do I bring that to my community and my church? Like, how do I have conversations with my pastor to get our church involved in these things? We heard you. We've been listening, and we've been wanting to create a worldview training program that will really equip everyday believers to be able to address these topics. Because I think what happens to a lot of us is, you know, we know, okay, God's word says this about marriage. It says this about parenting. It says, you know, this about the pro-life issue, but we maybe can't articulate or point to specific verses, or we're too afraid to start some of those conversations. And so what we wanted to do was really break that down and have an apologetic course, not just tackling understanding the Bible. There's a lot of amazing curriculums that are out there, but we wanted to touch on the stuff people don't want to touch on. You know, the controversial topics that are actually where the fight is the hardest these days. So AFA created a worldview training program. And basically the way it works, there's 18 powerful videos. There's 5 different units. So you watch a video and you can get a DVD or watch it online. And then there's these worksheets that you fill out that's going to help you, you know, it's one thing to hear the truth. It's another to be able to articulate it in your own words and to be able to flesh those things out and apply that to your own practical life. So there's these worksheets that you do. And then there's this third component that a lot of apologetics courses don't have that requires you to get out of your comfort zone a little bit and actually do something with this information that you've learned. So, for instance, we have a unit that is Sanctity of Human Life. So not only are you learning about how to, in 1 minute, defend, you know, the pro-life issue, not only are you learning scriptures to be able to engage with others, but you also are required to maybe volunteer at a crisis pregnancy center. And the way we've set up these challenges is there's actually a range of things, because we know there's introverts and there's extroverts and different personalities. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times there'll be a choice of which challenge you can do. Some of them are required. You're memorizing scripture, you are getting out and actually doing things, and then there's like this share element where we say, go have a conversation with somebody who might disagree with you, or go talk with your pastor and see how he feels about these things. Mm-hmm. I'm just so excited to see this course change people's lives. At the end of it, for those that go through all 18 sessions and complete all of their challenges that go along with them, we're going to have a graduation ceremony at AFA, and we are so excited about that. We're going to bring on some of the professors that taught in the course and just kind of pray over you and have a commissioning, you know, ceremony where mm-hmm. we say, okay, now go do this. Go be a light. And speaking of some of the amazing professors that we had, you know, you have a little sneak peek into this because
yes.
you're a part of our course.
Yeah.
We were
so
happy.
That was... Gosh, when did we do that? A year
ago? Back in February of a year ago. Two Februarys ago.
Yeah. So, Kendra, how long have you guys been working to get this stuff together?
It's been at least 3 years in the working, with the idea being birthed in Wesley Wildman's heart even before that. So he was traveling around to a lot of AFA donor and sponsor events and meeting people that listen to us and just kept getting that question. And so it was really birthed in his heart to start this. And I had heard him speak about the need for this, and I really wanted to be a part of it. And so I got to come on board with the team and help kind of build and craft the curriculum. And of course, you and your wife come to do part of our marriage and family unit.
Yeah.
And you guys just knock it out of the park, like biblical role. Like, how many people, if you say, what's the biblical role of a wife? They secretly go, and they're like, I don't want to hear it.
That, hey, we, you remember, now, Kendra, we did that in the old, in mm-hmm. the old facility that has since been torn down.
Yes, sir. We did.
It smelled bad in there.
It was, look, we took some things down and found a few things we didn't know were there, but it looked great on camera. And let me tell you, it turned out very spiffy. And I think the videos are going to be really engaging for people because, you know, the professors are talking right to you, the students, and then there's examples from culture that are just really practical. But yeah, you and your precious bride just knocked your session out of the park.
You're kind. Okay, so if a listener is saying, "Hey, I want to come and be a part of that," how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, so the best thing you can do is actually go to our website, and it's activate.afa.net. And you know, even if it's not the right time for you to sign up, we're really asking if you are a supporter or a follower of AFA to please go on there, find our trailer, and just share it with people you know. Because it might not be the time or season of your life, but somebody is. And like, worldview training is just so critical in this time that we're living in. It's designed for all ages. So, well, like 18 and up. So it's an intensive course, but you don't have to have a PhD to understand these things. It's going to require a lot out of you. But we break it down to the level that everyday believers can really grasp these concepts. So yeah, activate.afa.net. We ask you to go watch the trailer, learn a little bit more about it, and maybe share it with a few of your friends.
Amen. All right, very good. Well, that it sounds exciting. We were glad to be a part of that. And you are a fun person to be around, Kendra.
Thank you. We have a copy coming to you, by the way, because we want you to hold it in your hands and see how it came together. So it's on its way.
Well, good. That's super. Well, I appreciate it so much, and thank you for sharing with our listeners about AFA Activate. So God bless you, Kendra. All right. So you can get involved. Go to activate.afa.net. You can find out more. At least go online and look at the trailer and see how that could fit into your life, and or maybe you share that with somebody else. Maybe, as Kendra said, maybe it's not a good time for you, but it might be a good time for somebody else, and get that going in your life, at your church, to make a difference. So 18 powerful sessions with 13 different professors, and going over issues related to sanctity of human life. That's what we've been talking about on the program this morning: marriage and family, religious liberty, and stewardship. And so at this time now, we want to go ahead and open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. As we were talking to Dr. Rick Scarborough and the change in the Republican platform to soften the language concerning abortion and the right to life. It's a major step in the wrong direction, in my opinion. I think Rick Scarborough was saying we can't be one-issue voters, but I've maintained for a long time, hey, that one issue is the key issue. There might have been a lot of issues on the Titanic, things that people didn't like. Maybe the soup was too salty. Maybe the towel service wasn't prompt enough, whatever it might be. But nothing compared to the fact that they had a big gash in the hull of the ship. That was what was sinking the Titanic. And so all those other things pale in comparison to that. And I've stated that every other issue pales in comparison to the pro-life issue, because if we're not standing up for the unborn, What are we doing? We're allowing, you know, millions and millions and millions of unborn boys and girls to be ripped apart in their mother's womb. We're not to sit by and just sit on our hands and close our mouths when it comes to that issue. We're to stand up and speak up. Now, Proverbs 31, open your mouth, it says, for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. There's no people group more needy and more at risk than the unborn. And we need to stand up and speak up for them. And we need to let people know this is wrong. This is murder. When does life begin? Life begins at conception. One of my dear friends, Dr. Sudhir J. Aprabhu, is OB-GYN in our community, he said it's undeniable. And the doctors and the medical community and the scientists they'll all tell you, when they're being honest, that life begins at conception. When else would life begin? Life doesn't begin at a heartbeat. Life doesn't begin at 6 months in the womb. Life doesn't begin when you are birthed. Life begins at conception. And we are to defend the rights of the afflicted and needy and speak up for those who can't speak for themselves and fight for those who can't fight for themselves. And, you know, in ancient Israel, they sacrificed their children to the false gods of Chemosh and Molech. And the Lord said they did things that never even entered my mind. They were so wicked and so horrible. And God brought judgment on the people, the Canaanites of the land, and he dispossessed them when he brought his people in. And he's going to bring judgment, brought judgment upon his people for following in their footsteps, sacrificing their sons and daughters in the fire. And he's going to bring judgment upon America for allowing that to happen in our land. Abortion is horrible. It's not the unpardonable sin, and I know that I'm speaking in. We've had people on the program that have had an abortion and sought the Lord and confessed their sin to God and received his forgiveness. God can forgive. There's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus. There's no sin more powerful than the blood of Jesus. But we need to recognize it as sin. And we need to recognize it as a terrible, horrible sin. It is murder. And we need to confess that to God. And we need to turn away from that. And so 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Where does revival begin? It begins in the hearts of God's people as we get our hearts right with God. If we will turn from our wicked ways, then the Lord says, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You think about your life. You just do an inventory of your life. As David said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any evil, hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As we look at our own lives and say, what's wrong in here? Is there some hidden sin that I haven't brought out from the darkness into the light and confessed it to God? You know, I go back to 1 John chapter 1 over and over and over again. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need to walk in the light with him. We need to get right with him. And when we do business with God and are just ruthless with ourself, so to speak, where we're not trying to cover things up, we're not putting lipstick on a pig, we're not sinning retail and confessing wholesale. We are really dealing with sin in our lives. We're putting to death the deeds of the body, as it says in Romans chapter 8. Then we can see God do great and mighty things in us and in our marriages and our families and our communities, and that will spill out and bring revival to the nation. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Marty on the line from Iowa. Marty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, Jeff, thank you so much for this opportunity. And I just agree with you wholeheartedly that if our leadership does not know what life is, and I'm hoping that our senators, Grassley and Ernst, are listening to this. If you do not know what life is, you have lost any kind of clout with me at all. If you cannot protect the innocents, and I so often wonder these people, they call themselves pro-life, but yet they're willing to bend and change things, thinking that it's going to help. And I just, the advancement, one day my heart is going to stop. I'm going to meet every little infant that will say, Marty, where were you? Where were you when you weren't fighting for our lives? And I just pray to God. And this is a soft rebuke to these who wanted this leadership position. They wanted this position to stand for this country. And if you cannot determine what life is, then you do not deserve this role. And that's why, and Jeff, I was on with you a couple of weeks ago when Bishop E.W. Jackson was there, and I just am still praying that our president will pick him as VP because he's a man of integrity, he's a man of love for this country, that is in love with Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the bishop, and he would be great. I don't know if Trump knows him, but or someone like Bishop E.W. Jackson. Rick Scarborough said that, you know, Trump's a pragmatist at best. He doesn't have a core conviction about life, and we need somebody that has a core conviction about life. Mike Pence, from all I can gather, he had a core conviction about life. I think Mike Pence is a genuine born-again believer. I had him on the program some time ago, and he confesses his faith in Jesus. He's not ashamed of him. And you can say what you want about Mike here or there, but I think that his relationship with Jesus is true. And we need to have people who love the Lord and who will stand up and be counted for the things of God, especially as it relates to the unborn. We sing that song, Jesus Loves the Little Children, All the Children of the World. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world, and He does, and He loves them from the point of conception. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We are taking your calls at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've been talking about the change in the Republican platform as it relates to abortion. as it relates to the family, and this is what was written in the New York Times. The abortion section has been softened. There is no longer a reference to traditional marriage as between one man and one woman. The document makes no mention of a federal abortion ban, which Trump says he opposes. Instead, the new platform stresses that Republicans oppose, quote, late-term abortion, unquote, and emphasizes that the party supports access to birth control and in vitro fertilization. So a major softening of the stance and a major, major issue, a major cause of concern. So we want to hear from you. And we have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today, and thanks for holding.
Morning, Pastor Jeff. Blessings to you and your family and
thanks,
your
sir.
Ministry there in Texarkana.
Thank you.
I'm still very perplexed by so many, including yourself, who support the public schools and don't seem to realize how diametrically opposed the public schools and the teacher unions are to the pro-life movement in our, in not just in our nation, but in the whole world, and the darkness that exudes from that environment that just seems to, it's hard for me to juxtapose the two. Can you help me in any sort of way? I came up in public schools. I understand the evolution of public schools over the years as it's been taken over more and more by the leftist Marxists. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand how there can be any marrying of the two causes, for lack of a better word. Pro-life is such a foundational issue, as you and I both know. In the face of God, I can't understand anybody who can try to slap God in the face and realize that he will not be mocked.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to see done, Scott?
Well, I don't think any financial support directly to the public schools in any area is wise, because I think we don't hold the schools account, and as you know, they're not accountable to anyone other than the cause of liberalism, and that's not gonna go well when it comes to the causes of what you and I stand for. Mm-hmm. But I think to separate a particular part of the public schools in a particular area per se and say that they're not doing what the rest of them are doing, I think that's very short-sighted, because they are being controlled at a level that you and I can't even understand. Whether you have some local influence on them or not, they answer to somebody way out there that doesn't have any regard or anything of any of the ways of God that you and I proclaim each day and try to live out with our lives. I really think those funds are far better stewarded in ways directly supporting the causes of Christ than they can ever be trying to cajole somebody who is already sold out to the ways of the world. I just can't understand it.
Yeah, well, I think the public school system is a huge mission field. You know, here in the Texarkana area, we have a lot of Christians that work in the public school system. The superintendents are people that I know here in the Texarkana area, and many of them profess faith in Christ. And so, I'm not ready to abandon all that, you know, and just pull out. But now I live here. And so if I lived in another place, I would be like, okay, what are you teaching my kids? I think that one of the things that we've seen as a result of COVID that's a positive is that parents have gotten a lot more involved in what their kids are being taught. And I mean, if you are sending your kid to a school where the teacher has a rainbow-colored hairdo and is trying to indoctrinate your kids, I would get my kid out of there so fast. You do not put your kid in a situation like that. But if you have some influence and you have a school board members that are Christians, we have in one of the schools here, many of the school board members are outspoken Christians, and you do have a voice with them. And so, you know, I think good and godly people can disagree on that. But as in general, as a system, the public school system has gone hard left. And, you know, the horse has left the barn. And so I think it is very, very difficult. I think more and more people need to consider homeschooling. Christian private schooling is very expensive, and a lot of people can't do it. And so, and a lot of people are at an impasse when it comes to homeschooling. It's like, how can I do this? I need to work, what have you. And so I appreciate where you're coming from on that, Scott. I do think that that's a case-by-case basis for people depending on where they live. And, you know, as we pray and petition the Lord and build a hedge of protection around our kids and really get involved in what our kids are being taught, that is important for every parent to know what's going on in the school. And if your kid is in a bad situation, you got to get them out of there. You got to protect their minds. You got to protect them physically. So much in, you know, we see these horrible videos that in a public school setting where a kid is getting beaten and it brutalized in the bathroom and that kind of thing. You can't subject your kid to that. And so you'd have to step in. And so, I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate you sharing that perspective. I do think that we need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, and we do need to stand up, and we need to let the school district know, the superintendent know, hey, we're watching you, and if you're not going to, you know, provide reading, writing, and arithmetic and not try and indoctrinate our kids, we're out. And that will make a difference. So I appreciate the call. We have Chris on the line from Tennessee. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor, thank you for taking my call. I just want to make a quick point. These people who are developing the Republican platform, I wish every single pro-life Christian delegate would walk in there with that Project Veritas video where they were in the Planned Parenthood place, and they were taking tweezers and separating body parts of babies. How could these people forget that video, that the day that it came out, it shook the Christian community to its core? That video is so disturbing. And I wish I was a delegate, because I would go to every single leader developing that platform and ask them, hey, look at this on my phone. Do you forget this? And as you and your guest said earlier, okay, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Number one being life. They cannot soften this platform on the sanctity of life. This is disgusting. I think that video, that Project Veritas video, should be shown to every single one of them and say, why are you turning your back on God and the children? This is disgusting. I'm absolutely... And what really bothers me, Pastor Shreve, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, if Donald Trump approves of this, it makes me worry. What is he going to make cabinet decisions, mistakes like he did and during his first term? In other words, are you going to pass up the chance to have a strong attorney general like Pam Bondi or Ken Paxton? It makes me wonder just what kind of a cabinet, what kind of an administration are we going to get if they're going to soften their platform, you know, their views on life and the protection of life? What kind of an administration are we going to have? But like I said, I wish every single Christian pro-life delegate would walk in there with their phones and go, did you forget this video?
Yeah.
That's all I've got to say.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. Good point. Yeah, and the movie, I was just thinking as you were talking, the movie Unplanned, the Abby Johnson story, you watch that and you think, no way can I do anything that would ever help the abortion industry. And those people are butchers. They commit murder in the worst degree. You know, Adrian Rogers used to say they have the devil's initials carved in their heart. How can you do what those doctors do on a daily basis? It's just mind blowing. And if they ever, like the prodigal, come to their senses and come out of the ether, they would just fall apart in a pool of tears. Oh, God, have mercy. Although God does have mercy and God can deliver. Carol Everett in Dallas, she had two abortion clinics. Her testimony, you know, she was involved with killing so many babies. And then she comes to Christ and faith in Christ, and she receives his forgiveness. And she doesn't live in guilt and shame. She lives in the joy of knowing that, as Jesus told the prostitute who wept at his feet, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith is saved you. Go in peace. But you're exactly right. That is just barbarism, and that will bring the judgment of God. And we don't need to be, softening our stance on that issue, because life begins at conception. We protect life. We're against murder. And you have the other side that is pro-murder. You know, my body, my choice, unless it comes to COVID, and then it's like, you can take your choice and stick it in your ear because we're going to stick this needle in your arm and give you a COVID shot. You can't have it both ways. And my body, my choice doesn't make any sense at all when it comes to to a woman who is pregnant. It's not your body. It's a body inside your body. And in 9 months, that body is coming out. And so my body, my choice is rooted in a lie, because, hey, it's not your body. And the Lord is given you life and another body inside of your body, and you need to protect that body until that body can live outside of you. And so as Christians, we need to stand firm. And we need to know. I preached last night on prayer, and my sermon title, we have a series called Burning Questions, and we're dealing with questions that Christians wrestle with. And the question last night was this: since God is sovereign, since he's in control of all things, then what's the point of prayer? And people have asked that question. If everything's predetermined, if God knows the end from the beginning, he knows everything that's going to come to pass, and God's will is going to come to pass, and a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground, Jesus said, except by my Father, and God is over all things, so why do we pray? Well, we pray because God has commanded us to pray. He expects us to pray. Samuel, the prophet Samuel, said, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And so people in every religion pray. Prayer is what connects us to God. And so God expects us to pray, and God listens to us when we pray. And prayer does not bend the will of God to our will. And prayer does not overcome God's reluctance, like God is saying, no, no, no. And so we just keep badgering him. And eventually he's like a little, you know, like a little kid with his dad. And you just keep whining and whining and whining. And finally you're like, all right, I'll give you what you want. Stop whining. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's entering into his willingness. And God's will is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And as we pray according to the will of God, God answers. And we need to come before him with this issue, especially as it relates to our country, and pray for the unborn and get involved in standing up for the unborn. Well, we have Cassie on the line from Texas. Cassie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thanks so much. I know we're short on time. I just have a word of encouragement for the person who was concerned about the finances, sending their child to Christian school. I was in that same predicament, well, we were, 25 years ago, back in Massachusetts, and the only Christian school was, 20 miles away. I was a brand new believer, literally accept Christ over the radio, so I love radio.
All right.
And yep, accept Christ in the fall, and immediately I was a volunteer at my daughter's kindergarten in the library, and I saw these books, and all of a sudden I was like, no, this isn't working. So I said to my husband, we got to get her out, and he's not a believer yet. We got to get her in Christian school. Thankful he was okay with that, and the Lord provides. The Lord provides. Mm. It was expensive, but it was worth it. And yeah. It was worth every penny, and I worked nights, what have you. And now we have two beautiful grandbabies in Christian school, and she met her husband at DBU, and God is great. It's so just follow your heart, and God will provide is what I wanted to say to that.
Yeah. Amen. Yep. That's a good word. Thank you,
Amen.
Cassie. I appreciate
All right.
that.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Love your show.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, we're out of time. Rhonda, I'm sorry we didn't have time to get to you, but I appreciate you listening to the program. Appreciate you calling in. Well, this is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It's a joy for me to get to speak with you every morning, and this is a labor of love for sure, and I am so grateful to American Family Association, American Family Radio, and my good friend Tim Wildman for giving me this opportunity. Debbie and I are going to be in Houston, so we're leaving today to go to my grandson Jack's third birthday party, so Alex McFarland will be in for me tomorrow, and Alex always does a super job. Such a smart guy and a super guy, loves the Lord with all his heart. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.